listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream.
Just a couple of days away from heading to Pimlico for the Preakness Stakes. Looking forward to this coming up this Saturday. It's definitely going to be a different field. We only have one horse from the Kentucky Derby competing in the Preakness. At least for the Fringe fans, it's not a terrible thing because that is Mage, who has a chance, obviously, for the Triple Crown. And I know our next guest loves Triple Crown talk when we start getting to the Preakness. He is Steve Bortstein. He joins us all the time, periodically, to talk a variety of sports, but always during this time because he is very, very big on the sport of horse racing. Steve, great to have you along again. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it very much. Happy to be here.
As I alluded to, I know this is one of your favorite things, right? A horse wins the Kentucky Derby and people start talking Triple Crown. You love that talk.
Oh, let me tell you, nothing gets me more fired up than, well, can this horse win the Triple Crown? And within about 30 seconds after the conclusion of the Kentucky Derby, you know, the horses are galloping out and everyone's hooting and hollering and everyone's, you know, either tearing up losing tickets or holding up their winning tickets. I can tell you right away, no, he's not going to win the Triple Crown. Or yes, he can win the Triple Crown. He's the only horse that can. So that let's get that out of the way right now. You can't win one of the three. You can't win two of the three. He's the only horse, like you mentioned, Jordan, that he's the only horse that's actually coming back to run in the Preakness Stakes after running in the Kentucky Derby, which is pretty rare. Like, we don't see that. Usually, you'll always get the Derby winner for the most part, but you'll get one or two, maybe the second-place horse, maybe the fourth-place horse that had a bad trip or something. But no, none of the other horses are coming back. And I think that says a lot about the continuing, and it happens every year whenever there's not a Triple Crown winner, the continuing nonsensical conversation of, do we need to change the rules of the Triple Crown? Do we need to change the time frame where the Derby, the Preakness is 2 weeks after the Derby and the Belmont is 3 weeks after the Preakness? And do we need to extend the time between races? The answer to that is an unequivocal no, because it's supposed to be hard to win the Triple Crown. But a lot of storylines going into this race that we didn't have in the Kentucky Derby. You and I talked about it a little bit earlier before we went on the air, and that's the presence of Bob Baffert in this race. And you've got some horses that we didn't see in the Kentucky Derby that are going to make a big run, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of those horses in just a moment. I do want to go back to what you were talking about a moment ago and how rare it is for only one horse out of the Kentucky Derby to compete in the Preakness. You have to go all the way back to 1948. That's how long ago this was. It was Citation when he won the Kentucky Derby in the Preakness and, of course, on his way to the Triple Crown. That's how rare this Saturday's race is going to be in the field of competition.
Yeah, and in Citation, it can be argued, because he was such an overwhelming winner, and no one wanted to run against him. Well, if we're going to use that rationale, then does that mean that Mage is that overwhelming a horse, and is that, you know, difficult to beat? Because certainly him going up at 15-1 odds wouldn't have reflected that when he won the Derby the other day. You know, and so it is a rarity. And again, I think it has more to do with when your horse loses the Derby and you're a trainer or an owner, you're a bloodstock agent, or you're the conditioner, you're the groomsman, that is a haul. That is an absolute mind-numbing haul to get a horse ready for the Kentucky Derby. Everything that goes into it, everything has to go exactly right, and you come down from it, and then it's over, and you're like, I am not doing this in 13 more days. I'm just not. I'm not putting my horse through this for another 13 days. So, and since there is no chance at a Triple Crown, why would you if you didn't win the race? So you move on. You look other places. That's where the Preakness gets lost in the shuffle a little bit of the three Triple Crown races. It's unfortunate because it's historically, I think, one of the more significant races in America. It's one of the oldest sports trophies in the world. It's run at Pimlico, which I would argue of the three racetracks between Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont, I would argue Pimlico is the most beautiful of the three, just as far as the facilities itself. So it's unfortunate that it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but either way, there's some great storylines in the race, but of course, it's all about the gambling, and we'll get into some of those horses here in a second.
Yeah, as far as Mage is concerned, you know, we talk about Gustavo Delgado, we can get into that, we could talk about Javier Castellano, but the bottom line is, Steve, when you look at this horse front to back, you look at the pedigree, you look at really the small sample size that we have on Mage. It's not as if there's this long list, right, of races that he has participated in and won. Does he have what it takes in your mind to come out on top against an eight-filled set this Saturday and moving forward into the Belmont? Does he fit everything that you look for in a horse going into the Preakness after winning the Kentucky Derby to eventually get to the final stage, 2-0 getting to the Belmont?
So there's two answers to that question. There's the running style, which doesn't really complement him at Pimlico. And I say that because his running style is that he's a bit of a slow starter. He doesn't break slow. He's just not inordinately fast coming out of the starting gate. He's okay, but he's middle of the pack. And Pimlico, in route races, traditionally at Pimlico, especially in longer races, a mile and an eighth, a mile and 3/16, which is the distance of the Preakness, generally speaking, you want to be a little bit closer to the pace. Now, so from that angle, he doesn't necessarily fit that profile. But there isn't a lot of speed in this race. If you look up and down the roster, the eighth horse field here, you've got a long shot in Coffee with Chris, the number four horse, who likes to be on or near the lead. You've got the horse on the outside, First Mission, who we'll talk more about here in a minute. Those are the two horses that are probably going to be the, quote, speed, end quote, of the race. But they're not inordinately fast. That doesn't mean that Mage can't be close to the pace, and that means that that does put him in the fray a little bit. What's interesting also, and this is the second part of the answer, is if you want Mage in the route, the race he ran in the Kentucky Derby, and then look at the third place finisher, Angel of Empire, who was my top selection. They ran the exact same race. They ran at the same path turning for home. They ran in the same path coming down the stretch, and Angel of Empire only missed by a length and a half. So I would also make the argument that he might have been favored, Mage and Angel of Empire, to that extent, by the outside portion of the racetrack, which may have been playing very well on that day at Churchill Downs. So there's a couple of factors here. Will Mage show a little bit more speed with Javier Castellano? He might need to, but he might not have to really extend himself to get there. And was Mage flattered by a racetrack that might have been favoring his style and the outside portion of the racetrack turning for home at Churchill Downs? So that's a couple of different angles there. And my argument to both of those questions would then be, if you didn't like him at 15-1 when he won the Kentucky Derby, why on earth would you gamble on him now at 8-5 on the morning line? He'll probably be shorter than that when he runs in the Preakness. Because if you weren't there for the wedding, you don't want to be there for the funeral.
I agree 100%. Again, Steve Bornstein, our guest right now as we talk about the Preakness coming up this Saturday. Drawing out of the three spot definitely helped Mage, no question. But coming out of the one gate is going to be the return of Bob Baffert and John Velasquez together with National Treasure. Right now sitting at the third best odds at 4-1. It's the first time we've had Bob Baffert in a Triple Crown race since, what, 2021?
2021, and here he is with a maiden. This horse has one win. I mean, it's not like your traditional Baffert horse, right? Baffert horses in a Triple Crown race, they've got multiple stakes wins. They win in Arkansas, they win in Southern California, they win in New York, they win everywhere. But not this one. This one has just one maiden win, and it happened last September down at Del Mar when he broke his maiden at 6.5 furlongs. That was 8 months ago. I mean, why are we fascinated with this horse? Because his most recent efforts really weren't all that much. He does put blinkers on, which probably will enhance his ability to show some speed, but his last four races, he was second in the American Pharoah, a prep race for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which he ran third in. Then he came back and about 2 months later in the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita and was a non-threatening third that day, and then came back in the Santa Anita Derby and was a non-threatening fourth that race. And the horses that ran first, second, and third in that race were all scratched out of the second and third in the Santa Anita Derby. Practical Move ended up being scratched out of the Kentucky Derby. Skinner ended up being scratched out of the Kentucky Derby. And Mandarin Ear was a non-factor. So I don't know what you do with the Baffert horse. I mean, if you play the legacy of Bob Baffert, then yeah, he's an interesting horse. And I'm sure Bob Baffert would love nothing more than a thumb his nose, you know, in front of all the traditionalists at Churchill Downs and the Triple Crown and horse racing because of all of his recent, you know, stories and scandals. But I don't think he's the horse at all.
It's so funny to me. Well, obviously, sitting at 4-1, right? The first thing that pops out to me, taking the horse's resume out of the equation, 4-1 because of the two names, Bob Baffert and John Velasquez. That's why you come in at 4-1.
Right. That's the only reason. If this were another horse coming off of four straight losses and having a maiden win in a grade one stakes race with the prestige and the history of the Preakness, this horse would be 10-1, minimum. But because it's Baffert and because it's Velasquez, Baffert has won 7 Preakness Stakes. 7. That ties a record. So the fact that it's Bob Baffert is the only reason this horse is 4-1.
Steve, when you look at the field itself, it's the smallest field we've had at the Preakness since 2018, and that was when Justify went on to win the Triple Crown. And so, again, a very short field of only 8 horses. We've talked about this idea of trying to make it easier in some sense, and I know you and I have gone down that path several times. It's idiotic. We've also used analogies in other sports. Why would you possibly try to make something that is so revered, so sought after, easier? It really diminishes the accomplishment. So, if it's not Mage going in to the Belmont with a chance to win the Triple Crown in just a couple of weeks, who prevents him from doing so?
There's 2 horses that I'm looking at kind of with an odd glare to them a little bit. Number 7, Blazing Sevens, comes in for trainer Chad Brown, who we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He's that trainer who's won every race except the Derby, right? He's won 1 billion races. He's a great turf trainer. He's won 1 zillion races across the country. He's an Eclipse Award winning trainer. He's won multiple Breeders' Cup races. He's never won the Derby, but what has he won? He's won 2 Preaknesses, and both times he won the Preakness, it was with horses who didn't run in the Derby. He did it last year with a horse called Cloud Computing. Well, here comes Blazing Sevens, off a 3rd-place finish last time out in the Bluegrass Stakes behind a horse called Tapitrice, who, by the way, was fairly well-regarded in the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks ago, and Verifying, who also ended up being one of the starters in the Kentucky Derby. Irad Ortiz gets back on board for trainer Chad Brown. Not exactly, again, we go back to running style. He doesn't have the most favorable running style, but we don't know that he can't. We don't know that he can't run this far. We don't know that he can't run a little bit quicker to the early lead, and he's got the benefit of having about 6 weeks between races. Again, he didn't run in the Kentucky Derby based on that 3rd-place finish. Unlike National Treasure, who's 4-1 and probably going to be lower because of the connections, Blazing Sevens does have a stakes win to his credit. As a 2-year-old at Belmont Park last year, he did win the Champagne Stakes. So we know that he can win races. We know that he can win a stakes race. We know that he's capable of winning against better competition. Don't worry about whether or not they can handle the Pimlico surface, because none of the horses except for one massive long shot has ever run at Pimlico, and that horse has 0 chance to win the race anyway. That's the 4-horse Coffee with Chris. Don't worry about whether they'll handle the surface or not. But number 7, Blazing Sevens, is an interesting contender for, again, the reasons I mentioned before, and obviously the horse on the outside. And he's the 2nd choice in the morning line, and that's First Mission. First Mission comes off a hard-fought win last time out in the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. Again, he missed the Kentucky Derby, trained by Brad Cox. Brad Cox, who, of course, trained Angel of Empire, who ran the 3rd-place race in the Derby last time out. Skipped the Derby, this one did, coming off that win last time out, but he's won 2 of 3 starts, lightly raced, so that plays either for him or against him. Either he's lightly raced and he's getting better with racing, or he's lightly raced and inexperienced and can't handle it. I would much prefer him as the lightly raced horse in a field of only 7 other competitors, as opposed to a lightly raced horse running against 19 horses. But Mage did it, and he won the Kentucky Derby. So my suggestion would be, look for value in this race. Mage is not going to offer value. Can he win? Absolutely. But I would look for some value and look at Blazing Sevens and First Mission, because First Mission, even though he's the 2nd choice in the morning line, I don't know if he goes off as that, because, again, you got National Treasure, because the names is going to get wagering attention.
All right, Steve, we'll end with this. Take value out of it. Give me 1, 2, 3. How does it end?
1, 2, 3. I'm going to go First Mission, Blazing Sevens, and Mage. I'm going to go 8, 7, 3. And am I rooting for Mage? Yes, because I love the fever and the fervor of a Triple Crown possibility. I love it. I do. I don't think that racing needs it. I don't think that it's terrible for racing if it doesn't happen, but it makes racing that much more interesting for 3 weeks if Mage does win. So I'll be kind of rooting for him, but not with my money. I'll be rooting for First Mission and Blazing Sevens. I'll play an 8-7 exacta in the Preakness Stakes on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're a horse racing purist. I can view this the same way for me boxing. I'm a boxing purist, right? It's always good for the sport when you have a current cash cow or something that surrounds the sport where it takes center stage. With all the controversies going on in horse racing right now, if Mage gets a win on Saturday, we can put all that aside at least for a couple of weeks, because everything that's right with horse racing will be center stage.
Absolutely. If Mage wins the Preakness Stakes, you will not hear a peep about the... And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimize that there were some tragedies that occurred at Churchill Downs. There's tragedies that occur at every racetrack across America. And God bless the folks at PETA for being able to jump on a storyline and absolutely make asses of themselves for the last 2 weeks. Congratulations. You jumped on a news cycle. That's great. You can read social media. If Mage wins the Preakness Stakes on Saturday, all those stories go away. And for the next 3 weeks, these connections here of Javier Castellano and Gustavo Delgado and the folks at Oakman Investments, they become the centerpiece of racing for 3 weeks. And there's not a thing that PETA or any organization can do to stop that.
PETA made a joke of themselves? No.
No, shocking.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
That never happens, right?
No. Steve Bortstein, again, our guest right now as we talk about what's coming up this Saturday with the Preakness at Pimlico. Steve, always a pleasure to get you on. Before I let you go, please let us know where we can find more of your work.
You can now check us out on our new website coming up this week, and we're opening up a new newspaper here in the Four Corners region. The folks at Ballantyne Communications are opening up a new newspaper here in my hometown of Farmington, New Mexico, and yes, we're fine. Everyone's okay at my home. We had a little incident here earlier in the week, a very tragic incident, but everyone's fine. It's Tri-City Record NM. com. So you can check out my work there, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DTS Bortstein on Twitter.
Steve, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time. Can't wait to talk ahead of the Belmont. We'll see if we have a Triple Crown at stake. Thank you again.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.